Now, I wanted to start there just to give us an idea of how we go about doing our part to develop godly character, the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And one of the ways we do that is by forgiving. And one of the necessities when it comes to forgiving is having the power of God working in our lives, truly working in our hearts, working in our brains, along with our thought processes, so that as we process with our minds, with our brains, what has been said about us, what has been done to us, what someone has tried to do to us, we don't just get stuck just going over and over and over what they did, but we allow God's power, the power of the Spirit of God, to take our minds, our brains, our thought processes beyond, past what happened, remind us that we have been commanded to forgive, and remembering that in being given the command to forgive, we've also been given the power to forgive, because God's power comes with his commands. He never tells us to do something without empowering us to do that which he's told us to do. Remember Peter, when he was on the boat with the other disciples, and that storm was just giving them a hard time, and they couldn't get anywhere. They'd made it out about halfway across that body of water, but they couldn't get the rest of the way because that storm wouldn't let them. The wind was just blowing against them, throwing water all over the place. It's dark out there. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus walking towards them, and it seemed like he was about to walk past them. They finally addressed him, and when he began to speak to them and said, "Fear not, it is I," Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water." Now, Peter's goal was not to walk on the water. That was the means to the end. The goal was to get to Jesus, despite the water. Jesus is walking on water. Peter said, "Jesus, I want to come to you now. Bid me come to you on the water." He didn't want to wait until Jesus was in the boat, and then he walked over to where Jesus was. He wanted to get to Jesus right then. Because he knew that if Jesus bade him come, if Jesus commanded him come, if Jesus instructed him to come, he knew that Jesus would also be giving him power to come. And so immediately when Jesus said come, Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. Now this is important for you to remember, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get just hung up on he was walking on the water. He was walking on the water. But remember why he wanted to walk on the water. He wanted to get to Jesus right then. So he stepped out of that boat onto the water and was walking on the water to Jesus. When that wind, that storm started beating up again, you're hearing this vicious, violent wind all around you is throwing up these huge waves of water, and those waves are beating all around you and probably beating on you the same way they were beating on that boat. And understandably, Peter became afraid. But to his credit, when he became afraid and started sinking, he immediately cried out, "Lord, save me." And ladies and gentlemen, that is something to really appreciate in Peter. He could have just concluded that he was going to drown. But instead, he concluded that Jesus could save him, despite the fact that Jesus was still standing on the same water that Peter had begun to sink into. He said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus saved him. Grabbed him, got him up into the boat, and Jesus climbed into the boat himself. That's power, ladies and gentlemen. That is power. First and foremost, the power of the Lord Jesus to walk through that storm on the rough waters. To save his disciple. And they both get into the boat without harm. That takes power. But it also took some level of power of faith in Jesus for Peter to walk as much as he did walk on that water to Jesus, and then to believe Jesus could and would save him when he began to sink. We're talking about power. And as you can tell, I'm not talking about our power, man's power. I'm not talking about the power that God just gives us and we have by nature. I'm talking about the power that he gives us that is above man's nature, that is above what God just naturally gives us. So that said, as we've begun to focus on develop the importance of using the power that God gives us to develop godly character. As a matter of fact, let's look at that important piece of it some more. Using the power of the Spirit of God who lives in us to develop godly character. That's critical. If we truly love God, and we're not just saying it, but it's for real, we really do love God, then it's critical that we develop his spirit, his nature, his image, his character in us. Let me share with you what you already know, that it takes power for us to accomplish. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. After having been told in verses 16 through 18 that it's important that we not gratify the desires of our sinful nature, the King James Version uses the word flesh in place of the phrase sinful nature. But when it uses flesh in that context, it is talking about our sinful nature. And he talks about how our sinful nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit of God. They're in conflict with each other. And so he goes on to tell them to list some of the acts of the sinful nature, beginning in verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Ladies and gentlemen, jealousy. How many people are jealous of some good things that they see in someone else, and they resent that person for the good that they see in that person? They're jealous of that person because of the good they see in them. Ladies and gentlemen, this kind of sin goes so deep, and it is so pernicious. It is so diabolical. It's amazing where dark pride will take our hearts and our minds. Some people are very jealous and resentful of the good that they see in someone else because they work so hard to convince themselves that their spouse is the greatest. And if they see some good in someone else that in their own minds exceeds the good that they see in their own spouse, they become jealous, resentful, sometimes hateful towards that person for having the good that they have in them. Not because that person has ever done anything to them or to their spouse. The person is simply living as they are, being who they are. And this other person decides, hey, this person has a lot more good qualities in him than I see in my own spouse. And rather than just admit that and be okay with it, I'm going to play it off as though this person has just got a whole bunch of mess in them. And there's something about the mess in them that upsets me. And I'm going to play it off as though this person is the problem, when really they themselves are the problem. Acts of the sinful nature, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. We are told that we're not to envy anyone. It's in the commandments. We're not supposed to be envying anyone for anything or anyone in their lives. Not good character traits, not because of the spouse they have, the house they have, whatever it is. Envy is an act of the sinful nature. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And listen to this. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, who are children of God, said, I warn you, as I did before. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you think about how people hold on to these sins no matter what. They can have it told to them over and over. God was talking to the saints when he had the Spirit of God have Paul write, I warn you, the saints, the children of God, the people whom he referred to at the very beginning of this letter as to the churches in Galatia. He was not writing to people of other religions. He was writing to the saints and warning the saints. Anyone who lives like I just described, haters, people of discord, jealousy, fits of rage, envy, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when you see people holding on to these sins no matter what, and instead of getting rid of the sins, lying about the sin being there and about why they feel the way they feel, you see it takes power for people to let go of that madness.